Before long, he asked, "Do you have a workroom in your house?" "Out in the garage of the home of my heart, I had a workbench and some equipment, but I was not doing much with it. Once in a while, I would play around at making a few little gadgets, but I wasn't producing anything substantial. I took him out there. He looked over the workbench and the few talents and skills I had. He said, 'This is fairly well furnished. What are you producing with your life for the kingdom of God?' He looked at one or two of the little toys that I had thrown together on the bench, and he held one up to me. 'Is this the sort of thing you are doing for others in your Christian life?' I felt terrible. 'Lord, that's the best I can do. I know it isn't much. I'm ashamed to say that with my awkwardness and limited ability, I don't think I'll ever do much more.' 'Would you like to do better?' he asked. 'You know I would,' I replied. 'Well, first remember what I taught you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Come relax in me and let my spirit work through you. I know you are unskilled, clumsy, and awkward, but the spirit is the master worker. If he controls your heart and your hands, he will work through you. Now turn around.' Then putting his great strong arms around me and his hands under mine, he picked up the tools and began to work through me. 'Relax. You are still too tense. Let's go. Let go. Let me do the work.' It amazes me what his skilled hands can do through mine if I only trust him and let him have his way. I am very far from satisfied with the product that is being turned out. I still get in his way at times. There's much more that I need to learn. But I do know that whatever has been produced for God has been through him and through the power of his spirit in me. Don't be discouraged because you cannot do much for God. It is not our ability, but our availability that's important. Give what you are to Christ. Be sensitive and responsive to what he wants to do. Trust him. He will surprise you with what he can do through you."
Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you want to use us to build your kingdom. As we pause at this moment and we open your word, speak to us. Let us hear from you. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and give us ears to hear and hearts to apply. That, Lord, you would be in this service and speak to our hearts. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. We've been on a journey the last few weeks through a little book that I read in the early 80s, and it had such a profound effect on my life. It's about this idea of asking Christ into your heart and him going through the rooms. This morning, Jody, this is one of my favorite rooms. The workroom. This is where I'm at home. And I'm a little overdressed for this room. You see, we've talked a lot about how Misty and I have remodeled more homes than we can count. We've helped more people than we know. Go in and change the way things are. I told you the story early on about this all started over a ripped piece of wallpaper that changed my life completely. This is where it started, and I still have yet to finish remodeling. She stood up and proclaimed she hated this wallpaper and tore a piece off. That was 25 years ago, and I've been remodeling houses ever since. But the thing is, when she tore that piece of wallpaper off, I didn't have a lot of tools, Jody. I had a screwdriver and less knowledge than I had tools. But here's the thing. And Jody and I have spent most of our secular careers in management. And one thing that they tell you and stress in management is that every worker under you needs a job description. And there are three things that that job description needs. Number one, it needs to be clear. Number two, it needs to be measurable. And number three, it needs to be obtainable. God has given us a job description. When we accept Him, we get a job description. It is clear, it is obtainable, and it is measurable. We're going to take a look at it today. Go with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I'm going to start reading at verse 18. This is where Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven. Verse 18, Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is a clear, measurable, and obtainable job description. When you accept Him as your Savior, we get one job, right, Jody? One. Now, it's clear. Go and make disciples. It's measurable, okay, to God, not to us. We get caught up in wanting to count numbers, right, Jody?
Every day.
But that's not what God expects from us. What does He want from us?
He wants us to be available. He wants us to be obedient. And those two components is the starting gate of a Christian walk. Faith, of course, once you have faith in Christ and you know that He saved you, you have to be obedient, and that requires being available. After that, things begin to flow.
But here's the key, and I think back to when Misty ripped that wallpaper off the wall. I didn't have a lot of skill at remodeling, nor did I have a lot of tools. God doesn't require either one of those for us.
I don't see it in here.
It's not in there.
No.
It's not in there. What He wants from us is to be available to be used by Him. The measurable part and the obtainable part, the attainable is easy. We just hand it over to Him. Mm-hmm. Hand our life over to Him. But the measurable part is where we get lost, I believe. And we start focusing on things that are unimportant to Him. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at 22. When you think about measuring at how you're doing at your job of being a Christian, of being a follower of Christ, if you want to see what God is measuring, what He's looking for, it's not teaching Sunday school, is it, Jody?
That's not in here.
Let's take a look. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit that lives in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's your measurables. There's your measurables. If you want to see how you're doing, if you want to know what kind of Christian you are, if you want to know what you're producing, There's your measurables. What's in your life? What's being produced? Because this is what God looking for. Now, how do we take these and make disciples, Jody?
Well, the exercise of the gifts, not results in disciples. But not share Christ with them. It doesn't work. If you truly love someone in a Christ-like way, the first thing that should come to mind is, does this person know Christ? And then going back to Matthew, simple job description, go to that person and share Christ. Amen. Fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the main component of it. And how can you love some, say that you love someone, whether they're a neighbor, a friend, a family member, if you're not willing to share Christ?
See, we get caught up in wanting to measure number things, the things I do for God. I teach Sunday school. I go to church. I even shared the gospel with somebody one time. That's not it. When it comes to making disciples, we don't have that ability. Okay? God says make disciples. The definition of us making disciples is allowing Him to be used through us, because He's the one that makes the disciples. When we have these measurable components, then He can make disciples through us. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have these things, you're not going to make disciples. You have been all over the world in an effort to make disciples. God sent you here and fro and yonder, and you've taken a lot of people with you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need? Have you ever taken anybody because you thought they'd be good at it?
No, when Trish and I are looking at, when we've been all over the world, we've taken hundreds and hundreds of volunteers. And when we pray about who could go with us, we don't think, well, she would be a really good teacher. He would be a really good preacher. We don't think about those things. We ask God, who do you need to send with us? And we don't evaluate their ability. We first pray, are they available? Are they available to be used by you? And God has honored that over and over and over again. And He'll honor that in us as individuals when we say, God, I'm available. I am not capable. I don't know what to do. But God, I'm available. And that's demonstrating fruit of the Spirit to say, I love you so much, God, that I want to be used. Now, if you follow up with that, like I have done before, and say, God, I want to be used by you as long as it's not this or not there. That doesn't work. When you say I'm available, you have to put a period at the end of it. And when Trish and I look at taking teams, we do what the Bible says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers, and He sends them. And that's what we're praying He'll do today.
I can almost guarantee you that the people you have used, that you've seen God use the most, are probably the least talented by the world's standards. But they love Him the most.
I'm not going to point anybody out in this room. But there are some in this room that fit into that category.
And what God does is amazing.
It's beyond explanation. There's no explanation except by God. And you could hear testimony by many of these who've gone with us overseas. Some who just went to Houston jail just a month ago.
Look back with us in Galatians 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passion and desire of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Took everything that you find value, that you find important, that you desire, that you want, that you're focused on, and it's nailed to the cross and crucified there. Look at verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part. We love to compartmentalize life. Okay? Sunday's God's part. Monday is my boss's part. Saturdays, that's my part. God doesn't compartmentalize. Because you know what He wants from you? He wants it all. I think pastors, and I'm going to put us all in there, okay? We have done the gospel a disservice when we stand and say, Jesus wants to give you a free gift of salvation. There is nothing free about salvation. Because what it requires from you is everything. It requires you take everything that you are, lay it down, and give it to God. This scripture says the Spirit is in every part of your life. Now I'll tell you what we're good at. We're good at compartmentalizing, and we're very good at building walls. Building walls that separate us from being able to be used by God. And sometimes we don't even know they're there because we're so used to them. Maybe at some point they served a purpose. But we've gotten to the point where we just live with them and we don't even pay any attention to them. I'm going to illustrate that to you in a very tangible way. Is there anything missing from this stage today? There used to be a wall right here. Some of you got so used to it, you don't even know it was gone. You want to raise your hand? Come on. Yep. Can somebody tell me what the purpose of that wall was? Nope. Doesn't it look way better that it's gone? There's walls in your life. There's walls that maybe at some point in time served a purpose. And we got so used to them that we don't even realize they're there. In fact, we just go on life. That's the way it is. It's always been there. Let's leave it there.
It's very comfortable.
It's very comfortable. Can you find anywhere in Scripture where Jesus said, come to me and have a comfortable life?
The only place that concept exists is when He says, I am the comforter. Be comforted in me. He never says, be comforted by where you are, what you are, what you're doing. That's not in here. Unless you're doing service to Christ purely out of a pure heart, we're not supposed to be comfortable because comfort is dangerous, isn't it? Comfort is dangerous to me. I have a chair at home that's dangerous to me because when I get in it, the next thing I know I'm asleep, and the next thing I know I've lost 2 or 3 hours when I should have been and could have been doing something else. Comfort is hazardous to our spiritual health.
I've heard you say this so many times, and it's something we all need to be so laser focused on. First of all, number one, every single person who has ever accepted Christ as their Savior, including everyone in this room, is a missionary.
That's right.
By the job description,
Matthew,
you are a missionary. Okay? That's the good part. Here's the second good part for most of you. You have been from one end of the globe to the other. from Eastern Europe to Central America, everywhere in between, God has sent you. The vast majority of us and the people in this room, God's not going to ask that from us.
Correct.
What does He want from us?
He wants us to be available to do what He asks us to do where we are, where you are, and where He sends you. You know, how many of us would love to go to, and I'm not going to pick on this, but it is a true truth. There was people recruiting church people to go to Paris for the Olympics to set up prayer tents and do this and the other thing. And they had to turn people away because that sounds really glamorous. That would be fun. Go to Paris, be at the Olympics, spend a few minutes every day handing out brochures and pamphlets. Where I'm going with that is working for God is not usually glamorous. It's usually difficult. If we got to choose where we planted ourselves to work for God, He would never be able to use us. We have to go with His flow, as they say. And as Chad mentions, we've been all around the world. And one time I told God, I'll go anywhere for you, Lord, but just don't send me to Central America. We lived there for 10 years.
But here's the thing. For most people in this room, as far as God wants them to go is next door.
Yep. Across the street, next door.
Is
next,
next
cubicle.
Next door. But we have walls built and say, I don't like him. He parks in front of my driveway. He leaves his trash cans out all week. All these excuses we make for not serving on the mission field that God planted us on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any excuse for not going across the street. We don't. God will give you the tools that you need when you need them,
yes,
to produce what He wants produced when He wants it produced if you're available. That's it. He doesn't need your tools. He doesn't need your talents. He needs your availability. That's it. And here's the thing that's amazing about this, and I know you've seen this happen. When she ripped that wallpaper off the wall, I promise y'all, I had trouble putting an outlet cover on. Okay? Now today, 25 years later, we have bought houses, ripped them down to the studs, replumbed, re-electrified them, put them back together, just Misty and I, the two of us. Because what happens is when you get started, your knowledge starts growing. God starts giving you more as you start doing more. And the further you go with Him, the more you learn. And the more tools you'll accumulate along the way. Y'all, my house, my barn, it's full of tools. Because every time we've encountered a job, the tool I've needed for that job, I got. It's the same thing for you. When you're available, when you are willing to be used by God, where He puts you and where He plants you, He's going to give you every single tool you need to accomplish the job He wants done. Period. That's it. All you have to do is start taking down walls. You know the easiest part of any remodel? demo. It's demo, baby. You grab a hammer and start swinging. Okay? That's what God wants you to do. Start demoing the walls in your life that are keeping you from serving Him and being available to what He wants. Because when you start taking down walls, things get bigger. And the things that you can accomplish and do become wider. Here's my prayer for us. God doesn't need your availability. God doesn't need your tools. He doesn't need your talents. He needs your availability. I want you to ask yourself this morning, how available are you? Are you just available on Sunday and maybe sometimes on Wednesday? And if there's a fellowship, maybe Saturday. How available are you? God wants to use you. He wants to use you. The only reason you are still breathing on this planet, period, is God wants to use you. That's it. How available are you? We're going to sing an hymn of invitation. If you don't know Him, don't leave here without it. Don't leave here without knowing Him. If you do know Him and you haven't been available as much as you need to be, if you need somebody to pray with, come down here. If you need an altar, here's a good one. Walk out here more available than you've ever been before. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for loving us enough to die for us. My sole prayer for us is that we love You enough to live for You. As we stand and sing, I pray for every person in this room. Lord, let us examine our hearts. Let us decide to be more available. Let us tear down walls in our life that are keeping us from being used by You every single moment of every day. Let us stop making excuses and start making disciples. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. We got 3 more rooms to go. Don't miss them. They get better as we go. Before we leave, Brian, come up here. Tomorrow, or not necessarily tomorrow, but this week, school starts back. And our kids, they go into places that you and I could have never dreamed of going into when we were in school. Brian is our family's pastor, as you don't know. If you're a teacher or a student, we want to pray for you as this new school year begins. We want all of you to be lights in a dark world. And we want protection over you. Brian, let's pray for our kids and our teachers.
Yeah, if you have a student by you and you can put your hand on their shoulder or arm around them, whatever, to pray for them, just to show them that you care, even if it's not your child, just reach up if you need to and just let them know. And if you're a teacher here, know my heart goes out to you because I'm one too. And you have a rough course, especially if you're in public school. And I'm just going to pray that God blesses you. Father God, I pray for each one of these students. I pray that you would guide and direct their lives, Lord, that they would give all to you. The mission field is out there. The harvest is ready, Lord. The field is white. Send us out, Lord. And, Lord, these teachers, they don't realize what a huge impact they can have on these kids' lives just by showing that they care. And, Lord, I pray that if they've been out there in the battlefield, sometimes it's frustrating, Lord. And I pray that you would give them a joy and a peace and a comfort, that you would just help them to obtain that walk with you daily so that they can share your love with the students that they can reach. And it's all in your Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
And be available.